Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Halfway through the show and into a Football Friday, baby. Good morning to you if it's your morning. I still feel like it's my Thursday night. In fact, it generally feels like night until the last hour of the show. I don't know why, but after 8 years of doing it, that's just how my mind operates and how my mind works. Also, when it's Friday, there just seems to be a general joy in the studio, and especially after this week. I'm not complaining. This week was important for me, for my family. This week was emotional. It included so many jumbled emotions that I'm not even sure that I could express them all. But it also included some neat experiences, being able to host a couple shows from Green Bay and adding that city to our list of places that have hosted the After Hours Road Show, and also attending my first regular season game at Lambeau. It's not often that I get to NFL stadiums, definitely not on Sundays, because usually it's way too difficult, too challenging to keep up with all of the games if I'm at one particular stadium. And I did work the whole time I was there. I worked 4 hours beforehand. I worked in the press box almost the entire time. But still, to be able to meet Leroy Butler, to be able to be there at Lambeau and experience that furor of Packers and Bears on a Sunday night and 78,350, which was the announced attendance there at Lambeau Field, it was pretty cool. So I can check that off my bucket list, though I would have preferred Packers, Bears in the snow. They wouldn't have hosted Alumni Weekend when it was that cold. And it was pretty incredible to be there at Alumni Weekend. If you, for some reason, did not see my photos from Lambeau, they're up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios live, as opposed to dead. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Now, we know over the course of the last few days, even though I've been upside down in any which way but loose and catching up on sleep when I can, I did manage to keep up with the whole Mike Evans suspension saga. Actually, not very prolonged, because the NFL said, zip it, you're still serving your one-game suspension. So he is not available for the Buccaneers and the Packers coming up this weekend. That is one of the games that we've offered in our poll for After Hours Game of the Week, which is on both of our social media sites. So hope that you'll check that out and cast your ballot. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers on the same field. We may not have that many more times. You remember, of course, if you're watching the NFL a few years ago, that every single time Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and their teams were on the same field for a game, that was the number one storyline. Aaron has indicated he's not planning to play until he's 45, like Tom Brady. And he says it's because he has other interests outside of football, which I can definitely understand. But he did just sign a new contract. So we'll see how he plays this year, how the Packers play this year. I think the lure of a second Super Bowl title or just a second Super Bowl appearance is definitely powerful with Aaron. And he's not quite willing to concede or accept the idea that the Packers may not get back to the Super Bowl, except for early in his career. And the NFC North features four 1-1 teams. The NFC, in my opinion, is still relatively wide open. I haven't seen a team yet that has kind of stepped in and taken command. The Eagles have played extremely well. We know they made the playoffs last year as a surprise wild card. The Giants are 2-0, but let's be honest, all 2-0 teams are not created equally. The Giants are still a work in progress, though 2-0 for Brian Daboll is better than 0-2. They haven't started 2-0 since, what, 2016? Yes. So enjoy it, Giants fans. The Buccaneers are 2-0, but they have only managed two offensive touchdowns in their 2 weeks. So the defense is what's keeping those Buccaneers on top of the NFC South. So it's the Packers at the Buccaneers. No Mike Evans, and the Packers themselves had one quarter against the Bears in which they managed three touchdowns. Those 21 points, more than what they've scored in the other seven quarters combined this season. As I said, it's a race to consistency. Which team can settle in, can find a rhythm, and can stay there? Even keel, as opposed to up and down, up and down, up and down, and a roller coaster ride that at times will make you sick. Tom Brady knows that the offense needs to settle into a rhythm, and the offense has to carry its own weight and hold up its end of the bargain along with that defense.
There's a part of it for all of us that we just, you know, you want it to be the best you could be, really not just for yourself, but for everyone around you, for the whole team. Everyone's counting on you to be, you know, a great player. And, you know, we got to reach a higher level on offense. That's part of what our responsibility is.
Where's my Aaron Rodgers? Jay, you love it when we have Aaron Rodgers audio. You're tired of hearing from Aaron Rodgers. You don't like his haircut. Are you prejudiced against his haircut?
No, I wouldn't say I'm prejudiced against it. I'm not a fan. I wouldn't condone it or recommend it to anybody.
You wouldn't condone it? I'm sure that's going to crush him, that you wouldn't condone his haircut.
If it means anything to him.
Nice. But what that means we can't hear him wax poetic about football or his relationships or anything else? That's unfortunate. I mean, seems like Aaron Rodgers always has something really important to say these days. I guess we'll have to wait.
No lesions on my feet.
Ew. What? I'd rather not hear about lesions or legions or anything on anyone's feet ever, unless we're talking about shoes. Okay, so Tom Brady it is. The Buccaneers hosting the Packers, and we'll see if there any of these teams in the NFC North can break out of break away from the pack. I know, not in week number three. It's still going to be close, but it is interesting, is it not, that every team in the North is 1-1 and every team in the NFC West is 1-1. What does that tell you about how this division is going, or these divisions are going to break, and how competitive they're likely to be? Also, in the AFC South, last year's number one seed in the postseason is 0-2. And in that division, the only team that has a win is Jacksonville. Oy. I mean, we make fun of the NFC East, and by we, I mean me. I make fun of the NFC East. It's the soap opera of the NFL. But at least in the NFC East, there are six total wins. In the AFC South, one win among four teams. Well, that's icky. Seriously. But Jacksonville is coming off of maybe the best performance of the young career of Trevor Lawrence, and really the best performance for this offense under Doug Peterson. If that was any potential against the Colts, the way that they performed last week, maybe, just maybe, the Jaguars are a dark horse, a team to watch. Trevor Lawrence, 25 of 30, 235 yards, a couple of touchdowns, no turnovers by Jacksonville, 6 of 15 on third down. But according to Travis Etienne, they got to put that in the rearview mirror and move forward, because that shutout of Indy does not help the Jaguars in week number three, as if we all thought that. Like, you could carry some of those points over. But this time, it's Jaguars on the road at the Rams.
We each come in here and want to get better. We know that this is the most important week. So last week, we kind of put the week behind us, and this time, we put the week behind us again. And now we're moving forward. We went to a whole new plan, new scheme. And, like, Press, he always comes now with a shirt says, be watered. So basically just telling us, like, each Wednesday it's time to start over. It's time to do something different and get the game plan, learn it, and go out there and rep.
Maybe I misunderstood him. Did he say be water?
It says be water.
Be water? Wait, be what?
Be water, I believe he said. Maybe meaning like be able to adapt and fit into the
flow?
Container you're in, right?
Flow? Be water. Be a waterfall.
It says be water.
Wait, can I hear the rest of the cut after that? It says be water.
And like press, he always comes now with a shirt that says be water. So basically just telling us, like, each Wednesday it's time to start over. It's time to do something different and get the game plan, learn it, and go out there and rep.
Go out there and rep. Be water. Or maybe you and I just...
Says be water.
I think it says be water.
I think so. I want a t-shirt that says be water.
I'd wear that.
Maybe he has an accent and it's not water, it's... wider or waddle or
I think he's trying to say, like, you know, be adaptable and be free and be flow, but I don't know if it be water.
I don't know. I need to see the t-shirt.
Yeah, I need to see the shirt.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We did not put the Jaguars and the Chargers into the After Hours Game of the Week poll. That's up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. But definitely Green Bay and Tampa Bay. And even though the Chargers are the home team at the SoFi Stadium, the stadium that they share with the Rams, it's Rams and Cardinals that end up in our poll. So Chargers are home. Rams are on the road, but not very far away. They go from L.A. to... the desert. Actually, this is kind of fun. The Rams, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, are playing the Cardinals at the home of the next Super Bowl champion, right? And I don't mean the Cardinals, just that there will be a team crowned champion on that field at Glendale come February. This is an interesting game. The Rams, when they use all of their weapons on offense, are obviously really difficult to game plan for. We know what Matthew Stafford can do with the football, to be sure. And yes, there'll be an occasional interception now and then, but for the most part, there are much better players around him in LA than there were in Detroit. So Allen Robinson getting worked into the offense for the first time last week made a big impact. When they run the ball, when they do use the run game, to be able to throw different looks at the defense is huge for the Rams. And maybe they do add Odell Beckham Jr., though it seems like he's got some options. But just in general, if they can use Daryl Henderson and they can use Cam Akers, if they can continue to get Cooper Kupp the football, the reigning Triple Crown winner, but then also have Allen Robinson, as well as other receivers and tight ends. Though, didn't one of their tight ends get suspended 3 games this week?
I know they've been throwing
by the NFL.
They've been throwing a Tyler Higbee a ton in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't Tyler Higbee. It's a different tight end that got suspended for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. Regardless, the Rams have a lot of different ways they can hurt you offensively, and we know what they're about defensively. This is a division game where all the NFC West teams are 1-1. To see the Falcons come back the way they did last week, I mean, it was stunning, right? Because it's the Falcons and they're on the road in Los Angeles. I think it's somewhat indicative that every team right now has fatal flaws, and that includes the Super Bowl champions. But also the fact that you can't turn the ball over and expect to win, regardless of if you're home or you're away. And twice in the second half, turnovers by the Rams led to opportunities that the Falcons took advantage of. So there was a Stafford interception that sparked an Atlanta scoring drive. And then there's a blocked punt that's recovered by Lorenzo Carter with 5 minutes to go, and that's returned 26 yards for a touchdown. Now, yes, Marcus Mariota did throw an interception on the goal line to Jalen Ramsey. But that comes after a Cooper Kupp fumble. And so, regardless of who you are, whether you're a big bad, whether you're home or away, whether you have all kinds of incredible offensive weapons, you can't turn the ball over. Really winning the turnover battle, especially early in the season, where, again, teams are so inconsistent, it's half the battle. We're going to talk a little defense coming up, something new that we have for you. But it is one way that you can silence a crowd on the road is to have takeaways. And obviously, it changes momentum in a heartbeat. Before a team, initially, when a team goes on the road, I always say the top priority is not to turn the ball over. I don't care how much of a favorite you are. You turn the ball over, you give your opponent extra opportunities, you give them momentum. Well, you're asking for trouble. Ooh, and so many teams were asking for trouble last week. Just asking for trouble. Okay, just got a tweet from Logan. We're going to have to look this up. Be water is a famous Bruce Lee quote.
Sounds about right. I could believe it. I don't know the quote, but...
I'm going to Google it. What does it mean? Be water. I mean, we can speculate, but I'd rather know what it's supposed to mean. Be water. It's actually a... Oh, here we go. It's... looks like it's... Is it a Bruce Lee quote? Okay, here we go. Be like water. The philosophy and origin of Bruce Lee's famous metaphor for resilience. Empty your mind... Be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. Well, not really. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle and it becomes the bottle, meaning the shape of the cup or the bottle. Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. So you said something along the lines
Pretty similar, resilient.
Yeah. You didn't say that. You didn't say empty your mind and be formless and shapeless like water. But you were talking about being adaptable, which that's an element of being resilient.
I did say be able to fit into the container that you're put in. So that was pretty similar.
Did you?
I did. I said that. Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. You don't listen to me.
Sometimes. So sometimes I'm doing stuff in here. You must be shapeless, formless, like water.
You still want a shirt?
I admire Bruce Lee. I don't really know much about Bruce Lee. That was, I'm trying to remember. I think my stepdad watched a lot of Bruce Lee stuff, but that wasn't really my style, nor was it something that I was probably into as a kid. But I do admire him. I mean, he's a master of martial arts. And empty your mind. I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life when my mind was empty. In fact, when I'm sleeping, my mind is active because I am a very active dreamer. And a lot of times I wake up and my dreams are flat out scary. Or I can remember them. They're so vivid, I thought they were real. Do you know that this is crazy, but I'm not making it up. It was a nightmare, obviously. The night before I departed for Green Bay, which would have been last Friday, I was only sleeping for 3 hours. I had a nightmare about a man in my house with a gun.
What?
Yeah, no, I swear. This happens a lot. I do actually have dreams or nightmares about being confronted by gunmen or being chased. I don't know if that's because I'm always worrying about that in New York City or what.
Which is fair.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. My mother's constantly filling me with ideas of like how I need to be always looking around and being careful. But maybe I should stop. No, I can't stop watching and listening to the news because that I don't feel like that's responsible of me. But yeah, I frequently have scary dreams like that where I'm about to be shot or where I'm face to face with a gunman or someone who's in my house and is, you know.
You do watch a lot of crime dramas.
Good point. Good point, but not lately. They're still on my DVR. But yes, I do. I do watch a lot of those things. So maybe that, well, I was going to say that should stop, except it doesn't really need to.
Question though, when you're having the dream, can you, are you actively like, you can tell it's your house? Like, you know, like, oh, this is my house, like in the dream state.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm in other places, but I know where they are. Right. But this most recent dream was definitely in my house. Sometimes there are houses that I used to live in. Right. But for the most part, they're my own place of residence.
We need an after-hours dream book, I think.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
You don't want to know?
I don't want people. I don't want to share most of that. Anyway, now more people are writing to us about Be Water. D says, Be Water, my friend. It's a Bruce Lee quote about being adaptable. So adaptable, resilient. We should definitely play it, he says. All right. Okay, coming up, what should we do? Coming up, which way do we want to go? Are we doing the defense? You want to do the defense?
I think so.
Are you ready for the defense?
Ready for the defense.
Okay. Am I going to be ready for the defense since I have to write a CBS Sports Minute? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be ready. Something brand new.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in The Room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Because quarterbacks get way too much attention. They're hogs. They're bull hogs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships.
I wanted this so bad. I dreamed this, man.
I don't know who the tackle is I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him.
No.
And
no.
I check all the boxes.
Late rush. He throws it down the field.
Intercepted at the 30. 25-20. Micah Fitzpatrick goes into the end zone.
Defense. Defense. Defense.
That's dangerous.
Defense wins championships. Think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That defense won that championship. Going back to the Los Angeles Rams, or how about even further back? You could say Super Bowl 50, the Broncos, won by Von Miller in that defense, even though Peyton Manning was the starting quarterback. So lots of defensive flexing of muscles when the pressure cooker and the pressure are amped up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're already seeing some impressive defensive performances to start the season. Aaron Donald, widely considered one of the best athletes and one of the best players in the NFL. And now as the Rams go on the road against a division opponent in the Arizona Cardinals, he's looking forward to causing them to zip it with the play of that Rams defense.
I like, being away in away environments, and you got the fans booing you, and then they loud, and then you can quiet them up a little bit. So Just hearing the switch of a crowd, an environment from just you guys going out there as a team, making plays and trying to silence them guys. And then at the same time, anytime you're successful on the road, is great.
I could listen to Aaron Donald talk about defense forever. Man, he is so excellent at his craft. And even when he doesn't necessarily get a sack or something else, that a pass defense that might show up in the stats, he's wreaking havoc and making life so miserable for offensive coordinators.
Give it up for Aaron Donald. What a stud. Everything.
Not to mention it requires two or three guys to cover him, which means other members of the Rams defense are more unfettered and free to roam, free to make plays. We talked about Tom Brady and the Green Bay Packers, Tom Brady, the Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, all in the same field together on Sunday. And it's a major challenge, speaking of defense, for Green Bay coordinator Joe Barry, because Tom Brady has made a living. He's made a killing. He's made seven Super Bowl wins on his ability to get rid of that ball before he gets hit. And that means quick.
Quite frankly, there's very few of them walking around the planet right now, is because guys can do that. And, it's the constant, cat and mouse, that who's going to make the first mistake. And it's something that Tom's been able to do for, 20 straight years, is that he's just, he's so good at everything he does.
Yes. Yes, he is so good at everything he does. Is that the After Hours Game of the Week? You can vote on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Von Miller is pretty damn good at what he does as well, and he's attempting to make that Buffalo defense, that Buffalo pass rush, dangerous and potentially help the Bills get over the hump. It's an early season test in the AFC East between the Bills and the red-hot Miami Dolphins. Six touchdown passes for Tua Tagovailoa in what was a wild and wacky comeback in Baltimore last week. So Von Miller facing the lefty quarterback in Tua.
I don't think I've played a left-handed quarterback. I never played against Michael Vick. Yeah, I don't think I played. I don't think I played a left-handed quarterback. But yeah, man, it should be cool. Tua was the player of the week last week. Rightfully so. He's a great player. We got the same financial advisor. I've been a fan of Tua for a long time. Even since watching him in college, man. He has everything you need to be a great quarterback in his league. He's shifty. He can move just like Kyler, and he can extend the pocket and do all the things that all other great quarterbacks do. From Kyler to Patrick Mahomes and all of these guys.
I love to hear Von Miller talk about defense, about his outfits, about football, about quarterbacks. The man is just interesting.
Bills Mafia, what's good?
He better have a podcast when he retires or before he retires. That one I would listen to. Defense wins championships here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Kansas City defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo isn't looking at the Colts as an 0-2 team. Matt Ryan's the quarterback. Jonathan Taylor is a load. He's a beast. And while they may not have scored any points against the Jaguars last week, Steve is expecting them to come out and bring all of that effort and all of that intensity against the Chiefs.
First of all, they got good players. They got a really good coach. And this will be their first home game. And I just think all of those things added up, we're going to get everything that they have and what I think people thought they were going to be in this particular game. I think we're going to get it all at once. I think the receivers are getting healthy. I mean, yesterday I know there was some limited and one full. So we're anticipating everything they have as an offense. That's how we're going to go about it.
The Chiefs 2-0 in that AFC West. But, man, expecting that it's going to be a dogfight there. And, yes, the Colts are as close to a must-win game as you could possibly be. Their only saving grace is that they're in the AFC South where, well, no teams are breaking out or busting loose anytime soon. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Ravens and Patriots, also a big test in the AFC. And New England defensive end Dietrich Wise has got his laser focus on Lamar Jackson.
A lot of pressure, honestly, and a lot of teamwork up front. Being able to contain him at the same time apply pressure is challenging, but something that we can do.
It's going to take discipline, you know, from all 11 guys.
Discipline from all 11 guys, to be sure. We'll hear from Lamar Jackson coming up. But that's also a good test for both of these teams because the Patriots got that victory in Pittsburgh last week. But the Ravens have got to be hungry and a little bit embarrassed. That one's got to be raw after losing to the Dolphins in what was that fourth quarter rally sparked by Tua. And also their own offense just completely disappeared in that fourth quarter. And that brings us to the game that we already saw on Thursday night. Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns were desperate to forget about their collapse against the New York Jets of all teams. And so there they were on a short work week having to host the AFC North rival Pittsburgh Steelers. But they bounce back, they get a win, and man, it had to feel good.
I never had a doubt in my mind knowing this team, like the guys who are on it. No, everybody was anxious to get back on that field and get that taste out of their mouth and play a complete football game. And that's what we did.
So the Browns actually are first place in the AFC North. Try that one on for size, Cleveland fans. Not only do you have a first place team in baseball, it's getting closer to clinching a postseason berth. The Cleveland Guardians have a 7-game lead over the White Sox. The Chicago White Sox are going the wrong way. The Guardians have won 8 of their last 10, including 4 in a row, and they're on the verge. And the Cleveland Browns are first place. Deshaun, who? The Cleveland Browns are first place in the AFC North. When was the last time we said that? No, that's a serious question.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Me neither, actually. Maybe some Browns fans will let me know because this is a sincere question. I'm not being a big fat jerk. I have no idea when the Browns were last in first place. And I know it's still early and they played on Thursday night, but first place is first place. You are what your record says you are. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. A lot of you are pointing to other games, and that's fine. We ended up having to debate about the third and fourth matchups that we would put into the poll. And so there are some other intriguing matchups, right? We've got some games that, as I say, may not be must wins technically, but certainly feel that way. And also, by the way, I said the Colts were 0-2. The Colts have a tie. Okay. It feels like a loss to me, but the Colts are winless, I guess is the point. They're winless. The only team in the AFC South with a win is the Jaguars. I'm just going to go with that because there's shock value there. All right, we'll get back to more of the Week 3 preview, but vote for the game of the week, and you can also give us a call anytime, 855-212-4227. Jerry Jones, he actually, follow me here, wants a quarterback controversy. He wants a quarterback competition? Wait a minute, they paid Dak all that money, and now he wants a competition? I'm so confused.
You are listening to the After Hours.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families, The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Some fans gear up for game day, But some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
First podcast.
The pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep center. Hernandez back. He's on the track. Next to the wall, makes the catch. He made the catch right at the Monument Park wall. Oh, almost. Pitch is grounded in the shortstop hole. Base hit. Here comes Gonzalez. Here comes the throw. It is not in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. Yankees win. Josh Donaldson snuck a ground ball in the shortstop hole past the dive of Devers, and Gonzalez came all the way around to score, and the Yankees win the ball game in 10 innings, 5-4. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, for a second there, my heart skipped a beat. I'm not kidding. When that ball left his bat, I thought I was watching home run number 61 for Aaron Judge. This was in the 10th inning. It did not quite get out. It was dead center. As we've heard both Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone talk about, it was a cool night. The winds were definitely blowing. You could tell that if you're watching on TV or if you were at Yankee Stadium. And so maybe that knocked the ball down a bit. But man, and I'm sorry, it's in the 10th inning. In the 9th inning, he clobbered a fastball, and it was mere feet from the wall. So pretty crazy. 43,123, the announced attendance at Yankee Stadium. And you can hear the noise behind the John Sterling cut as the stadium erupts. Everybody hoping, praying, and believing maybe that they've seen home run number 61. But it was just shy of the fence. In fact, it was Kike Hernandez who completely spoiled all of those hopes and dreams because he was the one who made the catch. So the ball was hit 404 feet. 404 feet.
I've read that was a home run in 8 major league stadiums.
No way! Yep. Oh my gosh! Still, though, you wouldn't trade it because if he could do this at home in front of the Yankees fans in the stadium that's meant so much to him, I can imagine that is more important to him than maybe having it a couple of days earlier. So he goes without hitting a home run for the second straight game. Oh, no! But he is sitting on 60. What was the headline on Thursday morning? Stuck on 60 stuck. Home runs. Stuck because he went a whole game without hitting a home run. But it could have been a walk-off. So that was the 9th inning, and that's why another reason why the crowd was so crazy. But then in the 10th inning, Red Sox go quietly in the top of the frame, and with that gimmicky runner on second base, the Yankees are able to get their run across, and that's Josh Donaldson with the RBI. There are 13 games remaining for the Aaron Judge Yankees. Is that what they are right now? For Aaron Judge's Yankees, there are 13 games left, and I got to tell you, I think it's comic relief. Every single time there's a pitch that's called a ball and the fans erupt in booing. What? The pitcher's just supposed to serve up a meatball right down the middle?
Hooligans.
I mean, come on now. Here's a question, actually, Producer Jay. If you are the Red Sox, now Alex Cora said they were going to pitch to him. They did not say that they were going to pitch around him. Michael Wacha actually, if I remember correctly, I saw this, had 9 strikeouts against Aaron Judge before last night. He added another one last night, but maybe it wasn't 9. It was a lot. It was a handful of strikeouts, but Judge was 0-for against him before last night. So he gets walked 3 times, and he has a strikeout with the bases loaded, which was a huge deal. If you're the Red Sox or any pitcher, Are you giving him something to hit, or would you rather he does not hit the historic home run against you?
You were right, by the way. He judges over 14 with 9 strikeouts against Walker.
My gosh,
career.
Every now and then, Blind Squirrel finds a nut.
I think I would pitch to him. I don't really see the reason not to pitch to him, because he's going to walk. Because then you're putting him on for no reason.
Well, and he's the leadoff. Why would you walk the leadoff hitter? But he only hit leadoff in that first inning, but he was the number two guy a couple of times, I think, or he was there. In getting to the top of the lineup, you're facing other Yankees behind him who have the potential to hurt you. So I can't imagine you'd ever want to walk him intentionally or pitch around him so that he walks. But I don't think he swung the bat until his second plate appearance. And he didn't connect until he got to his third plate appearance, where he had a couple of balls that were fouled off. So they weren't giving, Michael Wacha wasn't giving him pitches to hit on the very first. He did have a 3-1 count, though, and obviously struck out. I think it was on a full count, a 3-2 count when he struck out. So they weren't necessarily serving up meatballs, but they also weren't avoiding him.
If I was a team like the Blue Jays or the Rays who are fighting for this wild card spot or even still in it for the division lead, and there was, say, a man on second and third and the first base was open, or first and second.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
The scenario-wise, yeah, I probably would not pitch to Judge or definitely pitch him cautiously. You're always going to pitch him cautiously just because he's such a good hitter anyway. But to not pitch to him, just to throw him straight balls just because you don't want to be the guy who lets up the home run, I don't buy that.
Yeah, and Alex Cora did say that they were going to go at him. They were going to pitch to him. John Sterling with the calls on Yankees radio. The walk-off means that the New York Yankees have clinched a postseason spot for the sixth consecutive year.
Never want to take it for granted. We're in the dance, and we got a chance now. Obviously, we're after the division crown, but you've been around this game long enough, and you appreciate every time you get the opportunity. JD got the belt and welcomed us all to the playoffs, and here we go.
It's great, great accomplishment, a lot of hard work over the course of a season to get to this point, but I think you can ask anybody in this room, the job's not finished. We have the ultimate goal of going out there and winning our division and really setting ourselves up for the postseason, but this is step number one, and step number one of many steps to come, that's for sure.
Obviously, the Yankees started out like a house on fire this season and then really cooled off in the second half. For a good portion of those 2 months following the All-Star break, they were below 500 and the offense was anemic. Both those things happening at the same time. But now as they're getting healthier, they're not completely healthy, but Anthony Rizzo back, Harrison Bader now in the lineup, and actually he was out there in center field when Judge gunned down, who is it, Tommy Pham, who was trying to stretch a great hit. I mean, it would have been a double probably for most hitters, but Aaron Judge fires a rope. The ball comes perfectly off the right field wall. He turns and fires a rope, a laser. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa never had to move. He never even had to move off the bag where he was set up. It was a strike, to be sure, and guns him down. That was really impressive. And so not only is Aaron Judge out there and formidable in right field, he had a bunch of plays out there in right field, but he's got guys now who are coming back in the lineup. Stanton is healthy again and is making a difference. They're still waiting on DJ LeMahieu. Haven't heard anything about Matt Carpenter, but there was some talk that he could be out the rest of the way. And so they don't have their full lineup, but we've seen the hitting a lot more contagious with the Yankees over the last couple of games, or the last couple of series, really. Scoring 5 runs in the walk-off against the Red Sox. Now, I know before that they were facing the Pirates, but 14 runs and 9 runs against Pittsburgh, 12 in their last game on the road at the Milwaukee Brewers. And then before that, it was AL East, 5 runs and 7 runs against the Red Sox, those games in Boston. Remember the back-to-back games against the Tampa Bay Rays that really sparked the offense, 10 runs in each. And I was there at the first one in which they had 6 runs on the board in the first inning. Half of Yankee Stadium is still empty, and they've already put 6 runs on the board. So no home run for Aaron Judge, but 3 walks and a strikeout, and then the ball that he gave a ride. And don't know if you were watching on TV, but if you were watching on Fox, did you notice how the cameraman stayed with the ball? And so you didn't really see what the outfielder was doing. And you might have noticed then that Kike Hernandez was under it and was planted and was ready for the catch. But yeah, little trickeration there with the camera. Yeah, it definitely was mean. So Yankees are into the playoffs. But Aaron Judge does not hit 61. Albert Pujols and the Cardinals win, but he doesn't hit a home run either. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families, The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NFL team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NFL team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.